Morning, church. Beloved of God. Today's reading is in Daniel, chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. May the Lord bless the rest of the reading of this scripture and the time that we have with Pastor Craig, and bless your words to live in us richly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And you thought we were done with Daniel. Well, we did finish up chapter 12 last week, but I wanted to spend one more Sunday in this book really looking at the person Daniel. And this passage that Elmo just read really encapsulates a great deal of information about the character of this man, Daniel. Right in this passage, and three times really total in this book, Daniel is called greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Your translation might say highly esteemed. And this particular combination of words, at least as far as I could see, and I did search it out, but this particular combination of words is used of people rather infrequently, and it pertains to being highly esteemed most often among men. However, with Daniel, the wording that what Elmo just read here and even the other places in Scripture, with Daniel, the wording actually suggests that he was highly esteemed in heaven. That the hosts of heaven, the angels of heaven, loved him, respected him, knew him. They knew who he was and respected who he was. Now there are a few people in my life who are beloved to me regarding their godliness. I often observe them, admire their faith in God, the way they trust God, rest in Him and His will, their prayer life, the discipline they have in bringing every care to Him, their knowledge of the Word of God, their diligence in studying it, and then the godly example that they are. Okay, I admire them. They're beloved to me. The way they use their life, even sacrifice their life at times for God's purposes and the good of others. That was Daniel. And while Daniel was not perfect, he was saved by grace, just like every other person in the history of the world. While Daniel was not perfect, amid whatever weaknesses he had, amid whatever sins he struggled with, he had a heart for God. King David is called a man after God's own heart. Well, in Daniel 1:8, you don't have to turn there, but it says that Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself. All right, he would not go the way of sin. He would not go the way of the world. He lived his life. That was his purpose anyway. He lived his life for God. And that is why he is called greatly beloved. greatly beloved. That is why he was highly esteemed, it appears, even in heaven. Have you ever wondered what kind of reputation you have in heaven? Now there's a scary thought. Amen. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us that the angels observe what we do. They desire to look into the affairs of our life. They're curious about what we do. Have you ever wondered what you're known for among them? At our leadership camp, where we train our teenagers to be counselors through our camp through the summer, this past summer, one of the speakers at the camp challenged all of us, every single one of us, to come up with a word or phrase to describe what we'd want to be remembered for. And it was a healthy exercise, I think, that this is what I'd want to be remembered for. Mine was faithful. I want to be remembered as faithful. Faithful to my wife, faithful to my family, faithful to the church, faithful to Christ, faithful to His Word. I want to be known as faithful. Well, Daniel's phrase could be greatly beloved, highly esteemed, not only on earth, but in heaven. And for the rest of our time this morning, as we close out, finally, we'll be done with Daniel this morning, but as we close out this book of Daniel, I want to look at five characteristics of Daniel's life that I believe made him greatly beloved, that gave him the reputation that he appeared to have. And I want you to know that it is these same five characteristics that will apply to any godly word or phrase that you might want of yourself. But these five characteristics, I believe, are what made him greatly beloved. And whatever that word or phrase is, maybe you even thought of one as I brought it up. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be known for in heaven? Well, these five characteristics will aid in that. Now, I have to admit to you, I got the idea for this message from Warren Wiersbe's commentary on the book of Daniel. He closed out his commentary looking at quite a few, actually more than five, characteristics of Daniel. But I wanted to focus on five of them. He listed them too. And I pray that as we look at these things and understand why Daniel was greatly beloved, that whatever that word or phrase that you thought of yourself, that godly word or phrase that you want to be remembered for, know it is the same five characteristics that can enable that in your life. And while this book of Daniel is touched on topics ranging from politics to prophecy to even punishment, I think we would be amiss if we didn't take a look at these godly characteristics that are displayed in the life of Daniel that led him to not only record this information for us, but led him to being greatly beloved. What was it about him? And again, these same characteristics will apply to whatever godly word or phrase that you would desire to be remembered by. Here's the first characteristic. Now, these are profound. These are going to blow your mind. Are you ready? Daniel trusted in God. There's a surprise, right? Yeah, but I want you to understand, he trusted in God in everything. He knew absolutely in his heart of hearts that God is in control of everything. As a young teenager, he was carried off from his home and his family in Judah to a foreign place, in a strange place in Babylon. And he was told that he would be trained and prepared to serve a pagan king. That was his situation. Yet because Daniel trusted God, he determined, again, in his heart, he purposed in his heart to not defile himself. I know, Lord, I'm going to be surrounded by all of these pagan things. I'm going to be trained in these pagan things. But Lord, I want my heart in tune with you. And he trusted that God would do it. He trusted that God would work it all out. And get this, if you could want to reflect back on some of the things that we've looked at through this book, Daniel could have been killed just by making a request to not eat what the king was serving him. Okay, that's all the way back in the early chapters. He could have been killed for that request, but he trusted in God. He could have been killed when he approached King Nebuchadnezzar and said, I can interpret your dream. And by the way, he told him that before God actually gave him the interpretation. Okay? He could have been killed for that. He could have been killed when he interpreted the dream, because it was not good news for King Nebuchadnezzar. He could have been killed when he interpreted the handwriting on the wall for King Belshazzar, because that was not good news for that king. He could have been killed when he was throwing the lion's den. Listen to Daniel 6:23. You can flip pages and try to follow me if you like, but I'm going to go through this rather quickly. But in Daniel 6:23... and this is speaking of King Darius. It was Darius, that's right. He says, then the king was exceedingly glad for him, Daniel, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. That's why. That is why he trusted in God. And we might think, well, yeah, I trust in God. I trusted in God for the salvation of my soul from the penalty of sin. And really that is if you get right down to it, when you understand what Jesus has done for us, when we understand what Jesus has done for it, that's kind of a no-brainer decision. All right. Absolutely. I'm going to trust in God for that. We might trust in God to provide for us now. Trust in God to keep us safe on the road. Trust in God for our health and our well-being. But what about that big thing in your life right now? That thing that seems impossible. Whatever that is for you. That thing that perhaps you know you should do, but you don't want to because there's a lot at stake. Maybe your livelihood, maybe your marriage, maybe your life, or maybe it's that thing that you want to do because you think you know better than God and you don't want God's answer in that. Do you trust God enough to relinquish control to him and allow him to have his way? Do you trust God enough to relinquish complete control to him in whatever that big thing is? There is an entire chapter in the book of Hebrews dedicated to people who by faith in God, they trusted in God, did the impossible. They did the impossible and are now eternally known as faithful. They're recorded in God's eternal word. Daniel's among them. Listen to this. This is kind of a summation of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. In other words, must believe that he is God. God. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Daniel trusted in God. Here's number two. Daniel prayed to God. I know this is nothing new, but are we doing it? Are we actually doing it? We learn in chapter 6 that Daniel had a custom of scheduled prayer 3 times a day. In chapter 2, we find him praying with his friends, his Jewish companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm certain that was not the only time they prayed corporately. We also learned that he prayed to God for forgiveness for himself and his people. He prayed for the kings that he was serving. He prayed for answers concerning every situation, every dilemma, every trial, every danger, every disaster, every vision, every interpretation, every prophecy. And get this, most of the book of Daniel is a recording of God's answers to his prayers. Daniel prayed to God. And one of the characteristics of being greatly beloved, one of the characteristics of being faithful, one of the characteristics of whatever it is you desire to be remembered by is prayer. It's prayer. For those of you who have children, As they grew up, and I believe people without children can readily relate to this because you've been a child once, okay? But anyway, for those of you who have children, as they grew up and came to places in their life where they needed to make an important decision, maybe they were going through a trial, maybe they were even in danger. As a parent, have you ever hoped that they would come to you and ask your advice? Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever hoped they would come to you and say, Dad, Mom, here's my situation. What do you think I should do? That is music to a parent's ears. As a parent, I prayed for that. Lord, please let them come and ask me what they should do in that situation. Lord, let them come to you and ask you what you think they should do in this situation. Because I want you to know that is exactly what God desires of each and every one of us. He watches us go through this life and desires. In fact, he loves it. Loves it when we come to him and ask, Lord, what do you think I should do here? What do you think I should do in this situation? Lord, please give me your wisdom here. In James 1:5, it says to us who know God, who've placed our faith in his Son for salvation, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, freely, without reproach, and it will be given to him. When we ask, that is music to his ears. He wants us to ask so he can give us the absolute best answer. Daniel prayed. Daniel was greatly beloved because he did. Right in those same verses again that Elmo read, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard. Daniel was praying, and the angel then says, I've come because of your words. I'm here to give you the answer, the wisdom that you're seeking. Daniel prayed to God. And you know, why don't we? I mean, we can think of all these reasons. Quite frankly, if we spoke to any believer since Adam and Eve and asked them, do you think your prayer life is where it needs to be? Their honest answer will be no. It can be better. It can be better with all of us. Daniel would probably say that. Yeah, no, my prayer life could be better. But because he did pray and he brought so many of those things that we often neglect to bring to God, because Daniel did, he's greatly beloved. Sometimes we're like our own children with God. And just because we only read about Daniel praying with his companions once in this book, I highly doubt that was the only time he and Azariah and Mishael and Hananiah, there it is, okay, that they came together to pray. In fact, in Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, they were there, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven. I think it is highly possible that they had a regular time of prayer together. Maybe even every day. I don't know, because it says Daniel went to his house and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were already there. Maybe it was a planned prayer meeting. I don't know. In one of A.W. Tozer's books, this is back in the 1960s, back then, he was concerned about how the church would come together for every reason. For a sermon, for a Bible study, for a Bible class, for music, for entertainment, for a potluck, for a work project, but not for a prayer meeting. Back in the 1960s, he was concerned about how prayer meetings at church were getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And here we are now some 50 years later. And of all of the gatherings that we have here at River Valley Bible Church, our prayer meeting is the smallest. I know I'm stepping on toes. It's at 5:30 Wednesday nights. In fact, we do put a number of things on hold through the summer. There are a number of men that do meet through the summer for prayer meeting, but just so you know, our official, just to have an official day, our official starting time for Wednesday evening prayer meeting will be Wednesday, September 4th at 5:30 here at the church. And I want you to know, I understand that no matter what time that we have it, there will be some that can't make it. But I pray that if you can, you will. Because Daniel, get this, he was greatly empowered. Daniel made an impact on the history of the world. Daniel is a hero of the faith because he prayed to God. And because he prayed, Daniel was greatly beloved. Here's the third characteristic. Daniel studied his God. And I put it that way because there are a lot of people that study God's Word and have no idea who God is. If we study God's Word to us, it should be to the intent of knowing God, growing in our intimate relationship with Him. Verse 12 again from what Elmo read earlier. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Daniel wanted to understand his God. He wanted to know God's purposes for what's going on in the world. God's purposes for what's going on in his life. Daniel studied his God, and he did so, of course, by reading his word. And in chapter 9, verse 2, we learn that Daniel had been reading from the scrolls of the prophet Jeremiah. He, like most Jewish men, would have had a good portion of the first five books of the Old Testament memorized. The first five books of Moses. Okay? And in those books, we learn a lot about the character of God. We can grow to know him intimately through that. We can come to know that he created us. He created us for a purpose. And his creation, even the things that we see around us in this world, his creation proves that he actually cares about us because he has created everything, everything that we need to live. He cares about us. His creation is a system of perfect balances. And he keeps those balances to sustain us, to keep us alive. And his creation tells us that he wants us to know him. And by the way, the Bible is the only book that communicates and affirms all of the above. This is God's word to us. He wants us to know him. He's given it to us so that we could study it and know our Maker. And of course, the culmination of God's word came in the form of a person, Jesus Christ. God became one of us so that we could see him, know him personally, intimately, know his personality. In John chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, Jesus Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Jesus came so that we could know God, our Maker. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We can know God and his purposes through his Word. Read it. Study it. Take every opportunity to sit under its teaching. Daniel did. Daniel studied his God. Number four. Daniel magnified his God. Daniel magnified his God. And to magnify means not to make it bigger, but to make it easier to see. All right, that's what a magnifying glass does. God is spirit. God is invisible to human eyes, but his word describes him perfectly. Jesus Christ displayed him in human form perfectly. And as we take what we know about God's character, what we've learned about God's character, and live it out in our lives, others can see him more clearly. That's magnifying God. I read that God is forgiving. I read that the forgiveness of God is the treating of a guilty person as if they are innocent. But when we see a child of God, a believer in God, forgive, then all of a sudden, oh, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Or we see a child of God trust in him, in God, for deliverance, and they're delivered, then we see, oh, wow, God really is that powerful. Or we see a child of God live a pure and a wholesome life. We see a child of God live blamelessly. We see a child of God seek forgiveness themselves after they've sinned. And others, they see God more clearly. They understand God more clearly. Well, Daniel magnified God in that way. And while it appears that only one of the four pagan kings Daniel served under came to a saving faith in God, every single one of them saw the true and living God a little more clearly because of Daniel. Those seeds of truth were planted. You don't have to turn there, but listen to Daniel 6, 26 through 28. And this is Darius speaking. And this, by the way, is one of the pagan kings that did not come to a saving faith in Christ. But listen to what he says here. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Back in chapter 4, Daniel 4:37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar is saying that from experience. He was prideful and was put down. And not only is that the product of Daniel's magnifying God, making God easier to see to those around him, but it's also a warning. A warning to those children of God who don't magnify him. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. And I say that because if we are not magnifying God, we're probably bringing blemish to his name. I hate sin. I have seen it destroy too many lives. Sin is what keeps us as God's children from magnifying him. Sin in our life can bring blemish to his name. Oh, they say they're a Christian, and look at what they're doing. And God is not proud and will expose sin in his children's lives, even if it does bring blemish to his name on earth. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down, and he will. There are scandals exposed in the church every day. I could list a dozen of them that have made the headlines. There are sins exposed in his children's lives every day. Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 saying, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 1 John 1:6 through 9 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even Daniel did that because he wanted to magnify his God rather than bring him blemish. Daniel 9:5 says, and this is Daniel speaking, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. Because he wanted to magnify his God rather than bring him blemish, Daniel exposed his own sin. And of course, along with that, he magnified God by standing on godly principles. He wouldn't compromise God's nature, his standards, his word. He wanted to display the truth about God in his own life so that others could see God more clearly. He also did this by proclaiming godly truths. He didn't keep those truths to himself. He was gentle and tactful and outspoken about the truth of God, God's principles, God's nature. Truly, the only way, again, we read a passage that King Darius had made this decree about Daniel's God being the only true and living God who delivers. The only way that King Darius could know that Daniel's God is the living God is because Daniel told him. He was outspoken about it. And then he lived it out in his life. He magnified God, made God easier to see. Here's the fifth and last one. Daniel worshiped his God. Daniel worshiped his God. Let me read you this from Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because of what God has done in our life, because of what God had done for Daniel, Daniel's service to God was his act of worship. He did everything as unto the Lord. He served those pagan kings honestly, with hard work, with integrity, because he wasn't really doing it for them. He was doing it for his Lord. God had put him there to magnify him. And so through his service, he was actually worshiping God before everybody around him. God had put him there for that reason. He rose to the top of every job and duty he had because he was doing it as unto the Lord. That is an act of worship. I pray that's us. And he did everything really to please him. Not only did he work as if he was doing it for the Lord, but his goal, his end game was I want God to be pleased. I want him to be pleased. While Daniel greatly pleased every king he served, he did it because he wanted to please the King of Heaven. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel worshiped openly, publicly, privately. He worshiped his God. Daniel's name means God is my judge. Boy, talk about someone living out their name and their life. That was indeed the theme of his life. He didn't care what everyone else was doing. He didn't care that he could be killed for his stance. He trusted that God would work it out because God was his judge. He's the only one I'm accountable to. He could have been killed when he approached King Nebuchadnezzar and said, I can interpret your dream. He could have been killed when he interpreted it because it wasn't good news for King Nebuchadnezzar. He could have been killed when he interpreted the writing on the wall because that wasn't good news for King Belshazzar. He could have been killed in the lion's den. But God was his judge. And as a result of living a life trusting in God, praying to God, studying his God, magnifying his God, worshiping his God, he was greatly, greatly beloved, even in heaven. He was known for that. These things did not earn him heaven. He was saved, like I mentioned earlier, by grace, just like everybody else. Heaven was a gift. However, these things gave him a beloved reputation in heaven. And I don't know if he had a tombstone when he died, but if he did, greatly beloved could have been the epitaph. What do you want written on yours? What godly word or phrase would you want to be remembered for? What godly word or phrase would you want to be known in heaven for? Well, without these five characteristics, it won't happen. But let's pray that it does. Father, thank you for our time in this book. Thank you for Lord Daniel, and while a flawed human being just like the rest of us, he had purposed, determined in his heart to go your way rather than the way of the world, to go in the way of purity rather than defilement. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is as we've contemplated the life of Daniel, And know that he is indeed a hero of the faith, that we too would want to follow his example. That we would want to be known for trusting you, praying to you, magnifying you, worshiping you. Father, I pray that the things we've looked at here this morning would remain in our mind the remainder of the day, perhaps the remainder of the week, as we go through such situations that are going to tempt us in the other direction. And Lord, that we might recall perhaps that word that we thought of this morning, that godly word or phrase that we would like to be known for in heaven, and go that direction. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.